Okay, with Jemez Hampton, Rebirth is a short film. He's from Illinois. It's 9 minutes long. It's from the Sci-Fi Fantasy Film Festival. Is it fair to say to call this a religious sci-fi film?
Yeah, that's what I was going for when I created the Rebirth.
So basically, Adam and Eve are in it, and you got some. Tell us what people what the concept of this film is.
So the concept of this film is a reenactment of what Adam and Eve, or an adjustment of what Adam and Eve story has been told for in the past. And essentially, like, my job and my goal with this movie was just to get people to come back and look at this moment in time and just start to think, like, what if? Like, just have those what if conversations about the Adam and Eve story. And but really, it was a more so accountability story for me. I just wanted to get people to kind of take a deep dive into, how they think about humanity and how their decisions could affect the next person. And it starts with ourselves and not blaming other people. So I just wanted to display that and start all over with that this Rebirth project.
So it's sort of like a thematic message about where we are in present time, going back to the past.
Yeah.
The first people think people are going to say is that the Adam and Eve are black, right?
Yeah. That was completely intentional.
Yeah, like it's like, is it like a Hamilton thing, or do you believe that Adam and Eve are black?
Well, the reality for me is it wasn't a Hamilton thing. The reality for me is the way that I learned about history and the way I learned the I read through the Bible,
Yeah.
and the way that it was depicted, I just felt like it was, and no disrespect to anybody's religion or what they
Sure.
believe, but like I just felt like it was always just one-sided. And I'm like, there's an alternative option here, and I wanted to explore it.
Well, let's be honest here. Jesus would be Middle Eastern, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
Like,
he'd be Middle Eastern.
he wouldn't be some white guy, well, that's for
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
absolutely. He'd be Middle Eastern, and I felt like the Adam and Eve characters, maybe if some were the same, but if not, they'd be a lot darker than what's been depicted in the
One,
past.
yeah, 100%. It makes sense too, right? Like that's like if you look at evolution of man, that they would be their pigmentation would be a little bit darker than the whiteness that the Western world kind of gives them, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, for me, that's the type of storytelling that I want to push my creativity into. I want to say, hey, this is what we know about this particular subject matter, but I just see it differently. And I think that's the type of stories I want to tell, the ones that I agree with the message, but I just want to tell it my own type of way.
Okay, I'm gonna talk about the origin story of this film because you're very there's more stories to tell within your written blog interview, I guess I could say. You said that you and a friend were kind of working on this project, working on this idea, and then he unfortunately passed away, correct?
Yes.
And then so you decided to make the film kind of almost a tribute to him, I guess, in a sense.
Yes, absolutely.
So what was that process that he did? Did you guys write the script together? Like, what was the whole process?
So basically, he came to me with the concept of a Genesis story that was an alternate Genesis story that was more so a torture story between Adam and Eve, right? And we always used to go back and forth about the what if possibilities. And during this time, we had our first decision was like, hey, let's make Adam and Eve black. And then our next decision was like, what's our overall message? What do we want people to take away? What do we want people to learn from Adam? And as we developed that's actually when the time he kind of passed on. And I kind of put it on a wayside by the wayside for a second, as I was like kind of grieving his death. And I was trying to figure out a way to kind of honor him. So I had some friends here in Chicago. My friend who passed, he had lived in LA at the time. And they wanted to do something, and they wanted to make a short with me. So I sent over the script, and people started to like ask a lot of questions. Like, it just wasn't clear at the time. So what I did then was I brought in two new people that I was working closely with, Tony Akery and Miles T. And we kind of talked about the overall message and what we wanted people to take away. And then we all kind of just kind of co-wrote it at that point to get it to where it is now. and we expanded on it. Like, I don't know if I mentioned this also in the briefing, that this is essentially, this wasn't even created to be a short film, to be honest. This was created to be a scene study to accompany a pitch deck for the actual episodic version of this. And once we put it together in post, it was like, hey, we got a beginning, middle, and end here, and this could actually do okay in some festivals. So we decided to just press the button and submit it.
So you but it is a visually stunning film, so it's a definitely short film, right?
Yeah, it's a real short film. The intentions of it was not to create a short film. The intentions was to create three separate scene studies so that I could use it in a pitch. And once we put it together, we saw that it was an actual short film. And at that point, we kind of molded it to kind of fit the short film a little bit better. So we kind of trimmed it. It was about 13 minutes originally, and we kind of trimmed it to feel like a more of a short film at that point, because when you're pitching, it's a shot in the dark, and I'm like, at least let's give this short a chance to live in honor of my friend.
What's the pitch for?
So Rebirth is an actual episodic that like a whole bunch of these scientists kind of recreated Adam in a lab, and Eve is just a part of the simulation for him, and they're learning from him to kind of help with modern day science with some different agendas and things of that nature.
So it's sort of like it's a TV show. You're basically pitching a TV show.
Absolutely.
And so do you have like certain scripts written, or like do you like
Yeah, so we have the first episode written, and then we have a season one outline, as well as a season two overview, as well as all of the other things that go into the pitch deck in regards to like comparable, who's involved, talent we'd like to attach, the look and feel of the show, and so forth.
So it's a proof of concept then.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. It seems like you've proved the concept.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. I was really, really, really honored to hear those remarks, because it was like, this is kind of what I was going for. No one said anything that kind of surprised me from what my intentions were, but it was really good to kind of get the confirmation that people were kind of picking up what we were putting down.
Oh, you're alluding to the audience feedback that we sent you from our festival.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you enjoyed that?
Oh, dude, that made my day. Like, that made my day. Like, I honestly didn't expect it. I didn't expect it to feel so good to hear people interpret the art the way that they interpret it.
That's amazing. That's so good to hear. What's your experience as a director before this project?
So before this project, I've directed two feature films, and I've directed a number of proof of concepts like this one, just in efforts to try to get more money to kind of like build on the type of stories that I want to tell. And I will say a number of, I think, four. So four proof of concepts up until today, including the Rebirth, and two feature films at this point.
That's amazing. And so basically, so you're trying to like, I guess, get something off the ground. I guess that's fair to say, I guess, right?
So my both of my feature films have I've had to play the low budget game to get my foot in the door so that people can kind of understand like what I'm doing and who I am. And I haven't had the opportunity to explore the type of stories that I wanted to tell, opposed to what I was being offered. So this was the first chance that I had to really put out the type of story that I want to tell. So this was like essentially my directorial debut for what I would like to be creating.
And you're based in Chicago, correct?
Yeah.
And so basically, do you like how's the Chicago scene for you? Or is it like was it good like was it easy casting? Because these are tough casts, these two roles, these two big roles.
Yeah, these are good friends of mine. The guy, he's in like all the Chicago shows, and he's a well-known actor here in Chicago and in LA. His name was Edward, and then Dion, who's playing Eve, I met her on another short film I was just helping out on. I was just helping some friends out on, and we connected. And this thing was starting to happen, and me and her, we sat down and we talked like endlessly about this character and what I was kind of looking for. And you know, she came through and they both delivered. I'm really, really pleased with the performances from both of them. But I don't, casting was not an issue. I got a pretty decent network here in Chicago. So in regards to crew and cast, like everybody kind of came through and just did like some solid favors for me.
And then so you got the one main location, but then you got the some of that special effects with the snake and the world. So how did you do that? And I'm assuming it was done post-production.
Yeah, the special effects was done in post-production. The snake was done on location. My cousin has that. That's my cousin's snake. And it was essentially that's what we can get. We were trying to get to some with the snakes. I don't know if you guys, you couldn't really see it in the short, but like we had Eve, you know how she takes a bite of the fruit, and the fruit has always been depicted as an apple. And we found this really weird looking like dragon fruit for this piece that she was biting out of, and we tried to get the snake to kind of coil around, and it just wasn't working. Also, we shot all this in one day, so we got the snake to just do what we were able to get it to do, which was just kind of slither on the ground a little bit. And we figured I found a few shots that I can work in there, and then it was more so a matter of like sourcing that stock footage because that took a while to try to feel like something that really fit the story and the theme. Once Adam could start to essentially kind of see the direction that that the world was heading into, and yeah, so we found it all in post. And you know, we think it worked out pretty good. Essentially, we would love to have been able to get a little bit more on the day, but the budget just, you know, just didn't permit to be able to do some special effects stuff like practically.
It's a nice. Then your cinematographer, did you like in terms of, like you said, did you have a good Chicago crew? Did you guys, how did you set up the scenes with them? Like, did you rehearse with the actors and find the shots, or did you storyboard? Like, what was your process?
So we rehearsed, and I gave him some overheads prior to the rehearsal, kind of gave him some blocking overheads. Because the idea for me was I like, as a director, like in this type of project, I like long shots as possible. And I really wanted to tell a lot of the stories just from Adam's perspective. We didn't, I don't know if you noticed, but we didn't spend a lot of time on Eve without Adam in the frame. So the idea was to get as much of his perspective, what he was going through physically and emotionally the whole time. So he, me and him talked about that. We pretty much talked about that for like a year straight. So we did create a shot list based off of the overheads I provided during the blocking rehearsals I did with talent.
And so basically, them tell me about the post-production then. Like, you did the special effects, like, were you happy with your shot selection? Were you like satisfied with the performances?
Shot selection, yes, I was satisfied with, but as a director and a creator, I started, once we turned it into the short film, I started to want a little bit more. I was like, oh no, man, I wish I would have got a few extra shots. If I had the intention on this being a short film, I wish I would have kind of thought that through a little bit more. But I do believe that, you know, for what I was trying to go for, I was able to accomplish that. Now, could I have done a better job? Absolutely. And in regards to what was the second part of your question? I'm sorry.
In terms of like the post-production, like put in the
Oh
post.
yeah. And the post side was seamless, honestly, because we essentially we I don't we didn't overshoot anything. We in some retrospect we possibly could have undershot this project. And it made it very simple to put this together, honestly. And then like it was more so me and one of the producers, Miles T, who's also one of the writers on it, me and him just we edited this ourselves. We kind of didn't have a budget for post, so it was just like let's just do it ourselves because we don't have the money. So we did it, and then a good friend, Jeanette Dominguez, kind of came through and did all the sound design for us. And overall, like it all felt pretty good once everything kind of came together. And then another friend did the coloring for me. So yeah, but it, all in all, it wasn't any big hurdles during the post process because the biggest thing was sourcing all of that, the B-roll footage, that stock footage.
Gotcha. And then, so you said you had 13 minutes, and then you basically realized it could be a short film. You cut it down to 9, and then so you sound, now you're setting out the film festivals, and now you're talking to me, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
So how's the festival? This is, you said this is kind of, I'm assuming this is your first experience, right?
Not in the festivals, but this is my first experience with so like my I have another I have my second feature circulating festivals now.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then I had my first feature do a few festivals and it did okay. But we didn't get into any major festivals, like any big festival. We just did a few, just a couple, honestly, because we had distribution already for the project and our date was coming fast. So we just took like a few monthly festivals that was prior to our release date. And yeah, so that's kind of where we are now. And it kind of, you know, we kind of just been working in that direction of getting more content created.
And more content created. And last question, you alluded that the film that you saw the most in the blog interview, the film you saw the most times in your life was Frozen. Right?
Yeah, dude. Like, I got a 3-year-old daughter
Okay.
who who has I think broke the record of how many times you could watch Frozen in a day. Like this thing is it is on nonstop when she gets in the house, and I
The
don't
first
watch
one,
both.
not the second one.
No, we watch both of them in the shorts. It's kind of a cycle. It's one, two, then the shorts. Continuously. Yeah, because I don't watch a lot as a filmmaker. I'm always kind of like I'll watch a movie or I'll watch a series to kind of study it a little bit. But then after that, I'm kind of like back in creative mode, and I don't watch a lot of things just for like personal entertainment. So the numbers of films and TV shows that I watch are on they're pretty low, to be honest. So like when I'm, you know, in the company of my children, my daughter is usually watching Frozen, to some degree. So
Well, a lot of kids don't have attention span past 15 minutes. So if she's watching the whole film, maybe she's a future filmmaker.
yeah, you know, I have both of my children on set as much as possible, and I get them to you know, they'll see a lot of the development, they'll see a lot of the outcome. I just did a commercial with Toro, the mower company, right? And they saw the whole process. We got our final edit yesterday, and they gave me like legit criticism on how it could be better, what I could do next time to, you know, like they play a big part into how much I'm available for these projects because they also are a part of these projects along with me all the time.
Well, that's so cool though. Like you're able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's a blessing to be able to get them incorporated at such a young age so that they can be exposed to like just possibilities of life, even when it's not like a narrative. Sometimes it's, you know, commercial work or corporate work, and just being able to see like what people are doing and being exposed to what people are doing and just kind of having an open mind before they can have to make that decision for themselves is really what my goal is for them.
It seems like you're on your way right now, right? So you got two features. You're relatively young, got two features under your belt. You got two kids. So basically, I guess every time you make a feature, you have to have another kid.
Well, you know, I got one coming in a few weeks now, so that must mean another feature's on the way.
Well, congratulations. Wow,
Yeah, thank
three.
you. Yeah.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
No, my wife and I decided to just wait. We got a boy and a girl. You know, there was no real benefit of knowing. And the third one is this one's a little bit unexpected, and we decided to just this may be interesting for us to just kind of not know and enjoy the process this way. So we decided that this was going to be best for this pregnancy.
Well, yeah, I'm the third child, and I'm assuming I wasn't expected as well, right? So
Yeah.
basically, and I have two children myself, but I can't imagine a third one. So congratulations.
Thank you. I honestly don't know if I can imagine the third one, but I'm gonna have to experience it either way.
You gotta do, right?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe the TV show gets picked up, and then that's a third right there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm hoping, you know, what we've been putting together the last year or so can really impress some people. I think the TV show, I love what Rebirth is as a short. I think is literally just the tip of the iceberg of what this TV show can present to people and who it reaches, because Rebirth isn't I identify as a Christian man, But rebirth is bigger than any religion. It is, like noted that we only gave her a name, but this new version of it speaks to so many different religions. We spent a lot of time researching what other people's beliefs are and what these books are saying about the past and how we can incorporate these things together. And we have people from different walks of life that's kind of experiencing this thing together. And the overall goal is just we're still human. We're all one humanity, and we're going to go through things together, and we still have to figure things out together, and we still have to work through our problems individually at home. And we still like we there's not a lot separating us from each other. And that's the overall, like, that's one of the messages in this project
Yeah,
that people are going to take away from it.
100%. It's like it doesn't matter what your religious ideology is. It's what you just said is that it's not about religion. It's not about like it's about human being
Yeah.
human, right?
Yeah, just being human. And
Yeah.
we got some really interesting characters that are going to help push this story. And we're going to have some characters that we fall in love with. We're going to have some characters that we fall in love with and then deceive us. Like, it's going to be a lot of like smoke and mirror type of deal, but also like some strong coming of age stories inside of it.
Well, on that note, congratulations on the film. I gotta point out the person, the actor who played Eve.
Dion,
Fantastic.
thank you. Thank
Not
you.
to be down on the other, but she kind of carried that film and basically fantastic. A lot of close-ups of her face, and she was very, very effective. And like to see what she does, what she's doing now or what she does next. I think she's got a good career ahead of her.
I think so too. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, what was outside of her performance, what was your second favorite part of the film?
I don't know if there's a favorite. I like the story. I like the uniqueness. I'm just it's just a broad comment, but I like that it was like we called it religious sci-fi, but it wasn't about a religious ideology. That makes sense. You're telling the story. You're not telling the people what to, you know what I mean? I mean, you're not telling people what to think and feel. You're not telling people that this is the right way to be, right? You're not saying this subliminal message. You're just telling the story, and it could be anybody. Could be anybody, but you're just kind of using this as a backdrop because there's a common understanding. Even if you don't know Adam and Eve, you know what I mean? Like it's like you know who they are without, you know what I mean? It's a common name, I guess, what I'm trying to say to you. So it's a good way to get a jump start of your project for sure. But it's not about that, and that's what I liked about your film. It's like it's not telling us how to be, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that remark.
Yeah, especially in today's times, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Everybody lives
absolutely. Yeah.
like
That
in
was
what
that's why it was important for me to make this project, because I was able to see what direction, not fully what direction, but I can see what's happening. I'm like, now's a good time to kind of speak out and let my voice be heard of, how I feel about some things.
And these days people are using their religion for their in your country for political reasons, right? So
Absolutely.
yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I have a question. Am I able to get a copy of this recording, or
I'm just going to say goodbye to you, and we can talk after the podcast. So congratulations, and let's talk again when you make your next film.
all right, thank you.